The Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our special guest, Gene Wyman. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. And here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you, I've had a busy week. I flew down to Dallas to attend the bankers' convention. Now, the bankers really held quite a convention. Even the confetti was in triplicate, and they really celebrated. They really celebrated. In the morning, they all looked tired and overdrawn. And they never forgot they were bankers. At dinner, I nearly starved to death. Nobody would pass me anything until it had gone through escrow. And they held a big parade down the main street. It was an inspiring sight. The bankers marching, the flags flying, the band playing. And the whole thing had a wonderful theme. Who can we dispossess? I'm only kidding. I've loved bankers since my tough early days in Hollywood. The banker was really a lifesaver to me. Just as my shoes wore through, they started putting out size 9.5 blotters. I want to tell you, they're really proud of that 20-story skyscraper they put up in Dallas. A big Texan said, that's the tallest building in the world. I said, how about the Empire State Building? How about the Chrysler Building and the Woolworth Building? He pulled out his gun and said, well, how about them? And you know something? I didn't have an answer. I had a wonderful visit down there. What fine people. You know how some people sneer at you if you haven't got $1 million? Not Texans. Down there, if you haven't got $1 million, they call you over in a corner and give you one. And what presents they give each other. One oil man just thought of a nice trinket for his wife. He's having Rhode Island gift wrapped.
You are my sunshine.
Thank you. Well, folks, when it comes to bravery, backbone, and intestinal fortitude, Bob Hope has as much courage as the next man. Especially if that next man happens to be Casper Milktoast. I am getting a little ahead of our story, which really began this morning when I arrived at Bob's home in North Hollywood. Good morning, Bob.
Oh, hiya, Bill.
On the way in, I brought your mail. There's a lot of it.
Yeah, my fans just adore me. Well, I'll have to take my address out of the directory so I won't be getting these huge piles of letters every day.
Well, I know a quicker way than that.
What?
Pay your bills. Oh, say, here's a note from your dentist, Dr. Pincus. He says, Dear Bob, you have an appointment with me this morning to fix your teeth.
Yuck. Well, cancel that, Bill. I'm too busy to have my teeth fixed today.
What reason will I give?
None.
Why don't I just write him a note? I could use yellow ink and let him figure it out for himself. What's the matter, Bob? You afraid of the dentist?
Me afraid? Don't be silly, Bill. A little pain never bothered me.
Well, no, then how come you fainted twice while you were plucking your eyebrows?
Anyway, I don't think my teeth need fixing. Let me look in this mirror. Looks like the stock room at the Chiclet factory. Boy, what fangs. I look like Lassie in CinemaScope.
Can I come in? Hi, fellas.
Hello, Maggie.
Hiya, Maggie.
Why the tooth inspection, Bob?
Bob has an appointment with the dentist this morning, and he's all a twitter.
Oh, get with it, Bob. If you have to go to the dentist, go. You can stand a little pain, can't you?
I sure can. I listened to the entire new Crosby album without flinching. Okay, I'll go. I'll see you later.
Dr. Pincus will be with you in a few minutes, Mr. Hope. Just sit down and I'll call you.
Thank you.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Jane Wyman, well... Well, this is a pleasant surprise. It's been quite a while, hasn't it?
It certainly has, Bob. I haven't seen you since you came around to my house playing trick-or-treat.
Yes, incidentally, the candy was delicious. What are you doing at the dentist, Jane?
Oh, this happens to be the day for my semi-annual visit.
Well, there's nothing to be nervous about. Just act like me.
Act like you?
Sure.
You're shaking like a leaf.
Well, don't get the wrong idea. I took my mambo lesson at Arthur Murray's last night, and I'm still vibrating.
I understand how you feel, Bob. I'll admit I'm a little nervous myself.
Yeah, I wish this were over with.
Oh! What was that?
They're playing our song.
Oh! Oh, doctor! Gee... Bob, I thought Dr. Pincus was a painless dentist.
Yeah, he could be. Maybe she's not a patient. Let's change the subject. Tell me, Jane, how's your picture career going?
Oh, it's wonderful, Bob.
I certainly enjoyed your performance in Magnificent Obsession. You were great.
Well, thank you. Men don't usually like sad pictures.
Oh, I do, Jane. I love a good cry. The sadder the picture, the better I like it. My popcorn gets so mushy, I have to eat it with a spoon. Incidentally, Jane, I noticed that your leading man in Magnificent Obsession was Rock Hudson.
That's right, Bob. Rock Hudson is a very talented actor and also a very handsome man.
Yes, if you like that type. Oh, I don't want to brag, Jane, but when good looks were being handed out, I was right at the head of the line.
Well, when they were handing out noses, you must have been there a day ahead of everybody else.
You're speaking of the cheese slicer I love. By the way, Jane, how'd you like to be the guest star in my next radio show?
Drop around to my house this afternoon and we'll discuss it after we've finished with the dentist.
Okay, I'll be there.
Gee, it's a long wait, huh? These are awfully hard, uncomfortable chairs.
Yes, I suggested a way to make people feel more comfortable on these hard chairs, but the doc wouldn't do it.
Why not?
He said it would require too much Novocaine.
Here comes the nurse now.
Pardon me. The dentist is ready for the next patient. One of you can go in now.
One of us can go in? Which one?
Oh, you go ahead, Bob.
Me? Oh, but you were here before me, Jane. After you, ladies first.
Oh, no, after you. Cowards first.
Excuse me. You're next, Miss Wyman.
Yeah, well, oh, that lets me out. Go ahead, Jane, and don't worry about the dentist drill. It's well broken in. Weekends, he works on the freeway. Pretty good, huh? That goes with the seagull. Go, kid, go.
You're very brave now that you don't have to go in.
Well, have fun, Jane. Remember the dentist theme song. The Yanks are coming.
Why don't you grow some feathers? You'd make a wonderful vulture.
Oh, I got the cards mixed up. It isn't Miss Wyman's turn. You're next, Mr. Hope.
Me?
That's right.
Boing.
Well, go ahead, Bob. Just sail right in there. You told me there was nothing to be scared of.
Well, I'm not scared of this dentist, Jane. I'm just afraid he'll strike a nerve.
How can he strike what you haven't got?
Come along, Mr. Hope.
Oh, on second thought, I think I'll postpone having my teeth fixed till this afternoon or next week or next year. Better yet, I'll just mail them in.
For heaven's sakes, Bob, go on in and get it over with. You just finished telling me how simple it was.
Well, if I only knew what he was going to do to me.
Well, first he takes a long, sharp needle and squirts Novocaine into your gums. Then he takes a sharp pick and starts scraping the enamel. And then he starts drilling.
Jane, you got one Academy Award. Isn't that enough? Well, here I go.
Make yourself comfortable, Miss Wyman. We'll be with you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
No! Please, Doc, you're killing me. Oh!
Just relax, Bob.
Good grief.
Oh, no, Doc, don't. Oh, I can't stand it.
I'm going to find out what's going on in there.
What are you doing to poor Bob? Not a thing. We're still trying to get him into the chair.
Here is Maggie Whiting. Teach me tonight.
Goes by, I'll use that star to write a love.
Mother Whiting. Isn't that great?
Folks, Robert Hope managed to survive his visit to the dentist, and a couple of hours later, we drove out to Jane Wyman's home. Now, Jane lives in the ultra-fashionable suburb Bel Air, one of the most exclusive residential districts in California. Hmm. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we got there.
Gee, Bill, Bel Air gets more swanky every day.
Well, naturally, Bob, only the cream of society and the very wealthy live here.
Yeah, look at that sign. You're now entering Bel Air. No automobile horns, noisy children, yapping dogs, and loud breathers will please use only one nostril.
Gee, they're really strict about noise, aren't they?
Yeah, canaries are allowed to sing, but they can't beat time with their feet.
How are you feeling, Bob?
Oh, I'm still a little groggy from that sedative pill the dentist gave me. Am I driving okay?
Well, yeah, except when we stopped in that gas station, you looked up at the neon flying red horse and said, "That crazy Phil Harris, look where he parked his Jaguar."
Well, with Phil, I could still be right.
We'd better watch these street numbers. Jane Wyman lives along here somewhere.
Please pull over to the curb.
Now, wait a minute, officer. I wasn't...
Please, keep your voice down to a moderate level. You're in Bel Air.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, anyway, I stopped the moment I heard your siren.
We didn't blow a siren. In Bel Air, we don't have such a thing as a siren.
What do you do in case of an air raid?
We squeeze Jessica Dragonette.
Well, that figures. Well, what's the charge, Tallulah?
My dear sir, you were going 43 miles an hour. And while we don't want to seem unreasonable, we must reprimand you slightly for exceeding the limit.
Oh, well, of course, you have to do your duty, officer.
You understand that we mean no offense.
No, no offense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, would you mind taking your car off the sidewalk?
Right away, officer, and thank you for being so considerate.
Oh, it's nothing at all. Nothing we wouldn't do for any resident of Bel Air. You gentlemen must be newcomers to our beautiful suburb. What street do you live on?
Oh, we don't live in Bel Air.
You don't?
No.
Oh, Melville.
Yes, Montgomery.
These men don't live in Bel Air.
Okay, come out of that car with your hands up over your head.
Look, officer, I can explain.
Gee, that was too bad, Bob. You know, we were delayed 45 minutes in that police station.
Yeah, 5 minutes while they fined me and 40 minutes while they gave me a bath. Well, here we are, Bill. This is Jane Wyman's house right here.
Boy. What a neighborhood.
That's Jimmy Stewart's house over there.
Where's Jimmy now? What's he doing up on the roof?
That's the television aerial.
Say, by the way, Bob, how much money are you going to offer Jane to be on your show?
Oh, the usual.
Oh. Well, I'll wait in the car with the motor running.
Later. Oh, I'll be right out, Bill, as soon as I get her to sign on the dotted line. Then it's all settled, Jane. I'm happy you're going to be on my show.
But so am I, Bob. But tell me one thing. How much money do I get?
Don't worry, Jane. You'll be well rewarded.
Yes, I know, but how much will it be?
Believe me, Jane, you'll be very happy with the deal.
Bob, just tell me in plain English, what am I going to get?
Well, let me put it this way. You'll never have to buy cottage cheese again. Seriously, Jane, we pay our guests from $75 to $750, and I'll be happy to give you the top figure.
Well, that's fine, Bob. What are those papers you have there?
Oh, it's a contract, but you and I can settle our business without it. After all, who needs a contract when two people trust each other? You trust me, don't you?
Where do I sign?
There in four words is the story of my life. Okay, Jane, sign right here.
Good. There you are. I wouldn't insist on this, Bob, except the last three times I was on your show, I didn't get paid at all.
Well, I'm sorry, Jamie, but you see, the man who handles my income tax also makes out the checks, and he's been out of town for a while.
For three whole years?
And seven more to go. It was a tough judge. Well, I'll be running along. See you tomorrow night on my radio show.
Okay, Bob. And since you're going into town, will you do me a favor?
What's that?
I packed an evening gown in this valise. Will you drop it off at my dressing room at NBC?
Oh, I'll be glad to. So long, Jane.
Bye, Bob.
Gee, I must have stayed in Jane's house longer than I thought. It's dark. I'll go out the side gate here. There's someone sitting in that car parked across the street. I wonder who it is.
Say, pardon me. Could I ask you something?
Yes?
Oh, no. Not those same two cops.
I thought we threw you out of Bel Air this afternoon. What have you been up to?
Well, you can't talk to me like that. I'm not a criminal.
Oh, no? You didn't get that mean mouth and those shifty eyes going to PTA meetings.
Look, Sarge... Who applauded? Look, Sergeant Friday, I've just been visiting Jane Wyman's house, and I'm on my way home. Do you mind?
What have you got in that valise?
In this valise? Oh, this is my laundry. Yeah, that's what's in there, my laundry.
Then I'll just open it and take a peek. Well. A pink chiffon evening gown.
Look, I can explain.
Who's your laundryman? Christian Dior?
Now, listen.
And what have we here? A pair of gold earrings and a string of pearls. You've got quite a wash this week.
Well, Bobo Rockefeller goes to the same laundromat, and I didn't want to look cheap.
Look, before you flip your badge, why don't you go in and ask Miss Wyman if I'm telling the truth?
We'll phone her from the station house. Come along, you, and bring that crazy laundry.
This is a very peculiar contract. I've read it all the way through, and there's no mention anywhere of that $750 I'm supposed to get. Well, wait till I see Bob Hope. Hello?
Hey, Jane. Say, this is Bob. I'm at the police station. The cops think I was prowling around your house. Will you tell them I was visiting you or I'll have to spend the night in jail? Here, I'll put the sergeant on.
A night in jail.
This is Sergeant Nelson. Was this man visiting there?
Very sorry. Nobody visit Mrs. Wyman. She's been out of town for 6 months.
Oh, no.
The Bob Hope Show is brought to you through the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.